5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. It is your source, your one-stop shop or whatever for common sense, conservative values. Great to be with you. We got all sorts of stuff to talk about. Some things going on in Nebraska. Pretty key vote in Nebraska overnight. Are you guys getting this vibe that more people are paying attention to stuff that we never paid attention to before? I mean, people you didn't expect. Commentators, people just in the neighborhood who seem to be waking up to so much of what is going on. And that's why I said just the other day, the panic is real. And we're going to walk through that. We've got Rich Barris on. He is from Big Data Polling. He's called the People's Pundit. He's going to be joining us about the halfway mark to give us some ideas. National polling is really fascinating right now. We've got a great story to tell there. So much more. Welcome home to all of you. We're so glad to be with you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You know, it's interesting. We have two different sections in today's program where we're going to be talking about this idea that House Speaker Mike Johnson has been compromised. Where did that guy go? The guy that we were all excited about. The man who seemed like such a devout evangelical Christian, a man who cares deeply about his faith, who's raising his children in the eyes of that, who took an oath with his daughter, an accountability pledge with his son about social media and digital technology and all this stuff. He seems like the guy calmly, rationally, who represents our values. And then when you're least expecting it, everything kind of goes off the rails and he votes in a way and does things in a way that are contrary to what the majority of us who believe in common sense conservative values would want him to do. And now people are talking about this blackmail, this bribery idea in the Beltway. That is the swamp. It is very exciting that this is becoming everyday mainstream conversation. Before we get to that, though, it was interesting. So I'm getting on the road this morning, and as you well know, I broadcast from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Pittsburgh is this really wonderful city. And I've been here for 25 years. It has been really my home. It is the longest place I have ever lived in my life. And I've raised our family here, multiple career paths here. And the thing that's lovely about Pittsburgh, and I hope you live near some place like this, if it's not the description of your neighborhood, there's so much culture. And the neighborhoods are separated by rivers and by bridges. And there are sharp overpasses and there's winding roads and it's confusing. It's a hell of a town to learn how to drive in because it's just really kind of backwards. But each neighborhood, there's one that's specifically for like German flavor, people there, German heritage. You've got your Italian neighborhoods, Polish neighborhoods. It's beautiful. But things go sideways in a hurry if something happens on the road. So there just aren't that many places to bail off on some roads if there's an accident up ahead and you get backed up. So I'm driving my main road into downtown Pittsburgh and through across a bridge and through a tunnel to go to the other side, obviously. And there's the tunnel shuts down. The bridge is closed. I have no idea what's going on. All I know is it's like, boom, all brake lights. Nobody is going anywhere. Now, the place I would have to get off and wind through is a place I'm not familiar with. It's just not my community. And so I quickly call Brock and I'm like, Brock, I'm getting off at the jail. I need you to help me get away from this bridge across another bridge so I can get to the station. And thankfully, the place I need to get off, I do. And he tells me what to plug into my GPS as he's walking me through the steps. And thankfully, it wasn't that big of a detour. It wasn't that big of a hassle. I'm thinking to myself, though, as all of this is going on, it really only takes one person out there in a tunnel, on a bridge, on the highway, anywhere, to not do what they're supposed to do or to make a mistake for thousands, potentially tens of thousands of people to be impacted. That one bad decision, not doing what you're supposed to do, not being in the moment and causing a mishap, can snarl everybody else's everything. And as I'm sitting there in bumper to bumper traffic, trying to figure out exactly where I'm going, I kind of feel like this is a parallel right now. Because we're in traffic. We are bumper to bumper. People have been forced to hit the brakes. That adaptive cruise control went out the window about 6 months ago. And now more and more people are actively aware behind the wheel, paying attention to what's coming up. And we're in this position now where we have a captive audience stuck in gridlock. The places that you might think you could detour, you really don't know well enough, but you're interested in learning more. Maybe I could become acquainted with this. I can detour over here and get out of this mess. And I think that's what you're seeing. And I find it very interesting to watch this from up above. The maneuvering, the people who have always been the detours in the road, but we've managed around them well enough, and they really haven't impacted our journey or our final destination too badly that we kind of just pass them by and we don't pay close attention to them. But when you're stuck and you're on the clock and you need to get somewhere and you're moving nowhere, oh, you're wide awake. This is it. America is watching the maneuverings of two political parties. And every single day, because we are stuck in this unprecedented traffic, all of us behind the wheel have to try to navigate it, make the best decisions for ourselves, do what we need to get done, right? But all the while, seeing some things we hadn't seen before. Are you saying that the Democratic Party, which has long beat its chest proudly over being this big tent, this inclusive melting pot, almost now of every weirdo misfit person in the world? Come on in, we'll take you. You have a problem? We can call you a victim? Come on in, you're part of our camp. But what's really going on is it's the Republican Party that is now being seen as the truly inclusive one. Because as people are stuck in back-to-back, bumper-to-bumper traffic, they're seeing people being kicked out of parties or being threatened. They're seeing the gamesmanship of the Democratic politics to prevent Donald Trump from just running for office, to prevent you from just living an affordable, positive, fulfilling life, to prevent your community from being extraordinary through regulations and rules and endless chatter and nonsense. You and millions of others out there now are on that highway the way I was this morning. And you see that there's one detour left before God knows what happens to you straight ahead. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay where it's comfortable, where you know you're not going anywhere fast because you see miles of taillights? Or do you try something different? Do you get involved? Do you get active? Do you get off the road and make yourself very uncomfortable? I don't know this neighborhood. I'm going to do my best. And I've got a few tools with me. And I'm going to see where this goes. Because it's usually on that detour that you end up finding something amazing along the way. Scenery, landscape, a restaurant, a park. People are making that detour. They're choosing to get out of traffic. And the Democrats know it. And they are losing their ever-loving minds. I have proof of that coming up in the second half hour of this program today. It's going to take us to Nebraska. Freely admit to you, I am woefully ill-educated when it comes to politics in Nebraska, but we need to focus on it today. There was an important vote overnight. Might not have gone the way a lot of folks who are exiting the gridlock had hoped, but it snapped a lot more people off of their cruise control. I'm going to explain all of this to you. And this is great. I'm going to go with bombshell. Major fundraising haul post Ronna McDaniel for the RNC. You ready for the number? I got it for you. Coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I don't think it's a stretch that the expenditures that were listed by the RNC that showed, you know, $150,000 or $200,000 of our donor money to the Republican National Committee used for stupid stuff like floral arrangements or limousines or consultant fees or like coaching for media interviews and what. If you can't authentically articulate how you feel about your brand of America, this whole Making America Great Again brand. And Ronna McDaniel was never about MAGA. Ronna McDaniel was about Ronna McDaniel. But if you can't get up without coaching, without somebody telling you what kind of makeup you should wear, and you should probably, you know, put on this dress or what, you should not be representing something as important as the RNC. So the money, the woes were tragic. I think that was one of the final nails in Ronna McDaniel's casket. She gets outed, right? They bring in other people, this Michael, whatever his name is, Wheatley, I don't know, and Laura Trump. And all of a sudden now, on the heels of Joe Biden's alleged $25 million fundraising haul, on the same day where 37 miles away, of course, we were paying our final respects to a fallen New York police detective. All of a sudden now, the coffers for the RNC, it's amazing when you kick out the CEO who sucks. It's amazing how people were willing to open up their wallets a little bit. How about this from Politico? I wasn't expecting this. Headline, Trump RNC raised blank dollars in March. Brock, you know the number already. Did I tell you the number already? Because I think this is a game. What do you guys think? What's a good number? Because the coffers were set at like, I think they had $13 million or $9 million when Ronna McDaniel left.
Well, I think a good number would be at least to match
RNC or DNC.
The DNC for their one time when they skipped a funeral and had a rock star.
Well, I think that's a great point. It would be, if you're coming at 10 to 12 million, you would think that in March, for them to get up to that $25 million zone where Joe Biden allegedly raised all that money, that would be good. Well, how about this? Trump RNC raised $65.6 million in March. Say what? I looked at that, and you know my sound effect for when my face melts off, right? That's the blowing up. All right, so here's the story. Former President Donald Trump and the Republican National Committee raised $65.6 million in March and ended the month with $93.1 million cash on hand, according to figures provided to Politico. It's almost like I wish they would keep nailing President Trump with ridiculous judgments in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Not because I want him to pay that, of course, but because it's amazing how that galvanizes people to get off a dime and give him a few bucks. $93.1 million cash on hand. Trump's allies hope the amount will ease concerns about his fundraising and the cash deficit he is facing against President Joe Biden. Look, do you guys think that you need some glitzy PR campaign? Some real get out the vote stuff? The way Obama started in the colleges and the universities back when he was president? Right? Do you really think Donald Trump needs $93 million for his message to resonate with hundreds of millions of Americans? See, that to me is the greatest disconnect. Democrats look at this as like a table, as like an economic well-being check. Donald Trump has Truth Social. Donald Trump has one of the greatest meme teams. Whoever manages his social media destroys it. Destroys it. Does he really need to do sit-down interviews with the Wall Street Journal? Does he need to go on some debate, which I know Joe Biden won't because he cannot? Functionally speaking, cannot. Do you really think Donald Trump needs to go out there and share his view of America? You know his view. $93.1 million cash on hand tells us a lot of people know the view. They've detoured. They saw it coming. They saw the brake lights. Their GPS didn't even need to start honking at them. They saw it. They moved over. They got out of the gridlock. Biden's political operation has yet to announce its March fundraising haul. It's also gross. Though it said it raised $25 million during a New York City fundraiser last week that was attended by Biden and Obama and Clinton. In February, Biden and the DNC raised $53 million and ended the month with $155 million on hand. Now, I'm going to posit to you that they're going to use this money not to elevate Joe Biden's economic message, because his message sucks. It's bad for everybody. They're not going to do this to elevate Joe Biden's fine foreign policy, because his policy sucks. Everybody knows it. They're going to use $155 million cash on hand to do whatever they can to tell you everything that you are going through right now that is uncomfortable, that makes you nervous, that robs you of that joy of just being able to drive down the highway at 65 or 70 with the windows open and your hair blowing without worry and smear Donald Trump. It will be Donald Trump's fault. Donald Trump's at the border. Donald Trump did this to the economy. Donald Trump hates all kinds of people. Donald Trump and his divisive rhetoric. Donald Trump, you can't handle four more years. It's not working. And if anything, it's getting worse for the left. Independents, they see what's going on. Moderates see what's going on. Gen Z sees what's going on. I dare say even your white college-educated liberal woman, the scourge of America, she sees what is going on. Let's go to Nebraska, ladies and gentlemen. Walk through some education with me. Very fascinating political story you need to know about. And you will next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So I've been paying attention to this thing going on in Nebraska. Now, we don't normally talk about Nebraska. It's not because we don't care. It's because Nebraska isn't commonly making national news, but yesterday it began to when a Democrat, a state senator in Nebraska, made the decision that I think he's been chewing on for a while and switched from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. And this became something that was pretty important because his becoming Republican has the potential to influence what could be pivotal voting to determine the presidency of the United States. How does that work? Well, I'm gonna walk you through. Last night there was a vote to change the way Nebraska tallies its Electoral College vote. So instead of giving one candidate who wins all of those votes, it kind of dallies them out. You win these counties, you win this, you get four of the five votes. If you win this amount, you get one of the votes, et cetera, et cetera. And there is this push for Nebraska, which with Maine, I believe, are the only two of the 50 states that handle their electoral votes this way. So this guy switching, ostensibly because of his pro-life views and the rigidity of the Democratic Party in allowing him to be a union-supporting, blue-collar Democrat who also loves life. Those things are not allowable in the Democratic Party, which is what I was alluding to in the monologue. There's this tent view now of these two political parties. And the Democrats used to be everybody's welcome. And the Republican Party was just rich white people. Right. And now what you're seeing is those roles reverse. It's really the Republican Party saying, hey, we're about realistic goals and we welcome anybody. Come on over. So here's the story from the Epoch Times. I think it's really fascinating. And I think it's important that we walk through this together so we understand the maneuvering in the DC Beltway. Because if you can't win an election on your own, if you don't have a track record, if you don't have a candidate, if you don't tell the truth, if your objectives are malevolent, and people in droves are catching on to you because they're in gridlock and they're bailing off at that last exit, they're seeing what you're up to. You've got to have an end game. And the end game is the last second Hail Mary. Oh my gosh, what if this is going to be the final card we play? And then what do? They work backwards. So we are now working backwards. Here's the headline. Nebraska State Senator switching from Democrat to Republican. Nebraska State Senator Mike McDonnell has announced that he's switching party affiliation from Democrat to Republican, citing his Christian faith and views on abortion. McDonnell made the announcement in an April 3rd statement to local media outlets, citing the Democratic Party's opposition to his pro-life stance. Quote, when I ran for re-election in 2020, I was pro-life, he said, adding that he's Catholic and recalling that in 2016, he ran as a pro-life candidate for Nebraska's 5th legislative district. He's saying, hey, this is who I am. This is how I feel. It's not a surprise. This is how I've run. I'm not just all of a sudden coming out this way. But now you're seeing the rigidity, the lack of inclusion on the Democratic side. He continues, I've asked the Democratic Party to respect my religious-based pro-life position. Instead, over the last year, they have decided to punish me for being pro-life. Mr. McDonnell said that because he opposes abortion, Douglas County Democrats voted not to seat him as a delegate and not share party resources. Huh. While the state Democratic Party voted to censure him for his pro-life views. Being a Christian member of the Roman Catholic Church and pro-life is more important to me than being a registered Democrat, he said, adding that he was switching to the GOP effective immediately. So the Douglas County Democrats voted not to seat him as a delegate and not share party resources with him, effectively cutting him off. Beltway bribery happens even in Nebraska. And the state Democratic Party censured him because he believes in life. How dare you? That's gross. The Nebraska Democratic Party issued a statement in response to Mr. McDonald's party change, expressing, quote, respect for his work with the party, while denying that the censure vote had anything to do with his pro-life views. Right. Quote, the Nebraska Democratic Party will continue to stand up for reproductive freedom and the human rights of the LGBTQ community, Nebraska Democratic Party Chair Jane Klebe said in a statement. So you're either 100% for this, abortion, whenever, however, whomever, doesn't matter, shut up and sit down. Or you're over here where Republicans say, you be you. We like you. Come on over. Our decision to censure Senator McDonald was never about him being a pro-life Catholic. Our decision was based on our party reaffirming our core values to protect women's ability to make health decisions and to keep politicians out of our personal health decisions. Nobody wants to get involved in those decisions. We just want to have a reasonable conversation. And you're not able to have a reasonable conversation. So now this is interesting. Ms. Klebe, she's again the head of the DNC in Nebraska, said that she and her Nebraska Democrat colleagues, quote, respect the ongoing work of Senator McDonnell on behalf of unions and his commitment to protect a fair electoral vote system in the state. Mr. McDonnell's party affiliation switch, however, and this is the big part, could signal that Nebraska may be headed for a major change, as Republican leaders have expressed support for a move to a winner-take-all system for allocating the state's Electoral College votes. So that's where we get into this important conversation. Nebraska Governor Jim Pillen, a Republican, showed a willingness on April 2nd to back some legislation that would potentially prevent President Joe Biden from getting one of the state's electoral votes. He did this by endorsing a statewide winner-takes-all system that is likely to boost former President Donald Trump. Unlike every other U.S. state, only Nebraska and Maine assign Electoral College votes by district. A congressional district that centers around Omaha, which is the largest in the state, has sometimes gone in favor of Democratic presidential candidates, including in 2020. However, if the state switched to a more standard system, Nebraska's three electoral votes would likely all three, I thought it was five, I beg your pardon, all would go to President Trump, as the former president easily won the GOP-dominated state by wide margins in both 2016 and 2020. Now, interestingly, I'm going to say this. There was a vote in Nebraska to do this. All right? It did not pass. And I'm going to see if I can pull it up. Here we go. This just broke a couple hours ago. This is on NBCnews.com. I just want you to know that the gamesmanship and how far down the line these people are playing, right? I want you to realize that when it comes in, we're going to talk to Rich Barris more about this because I think he's going to shed some great light on this. There is an Electoral College scenario in which Donald Trump and Joe Biden end up being tied, right? And in a tie, is it not the House of Representatives, Brock, that becomes the tie-breaking vote?
Correct.
And this is where all of the peeling off of these Republicans, these Mike Gallaghers, Kevin McCarthy, Ken Buck, all these, Kay Granger, peeling these Republicans back, putting the majority in a very, very razor-thin margin. The objective, clearly, is to flip the House to Hakeem Jeffries as the Speaker, give Democrats control, and in the 11th hour, if the shizzle hits the fan and it comes down to an electoral tie, guess who the Democrats are going to select? Now, I want to read you this from NBC News, because apparently the legislature in Nebraska voted down this winner-takes-all idea. But it's important that we understand how people are waking up and choosing their highway. Where do you want to go? Where are you fitting in? Nebraska legislators buck Trump by blocking Electoral College vote change for now. Here's the story. Nebraska legislators Wednesday night, so just hours ago, blocked a late effort to change how the state allocates its Electoral College votes, despite public pressure from Donald Trump to shift to a winner-take-all system that would likely benefit him in the fall. The measure fell short in a procedural vote. While it's possible, however, supporters could take another stab at advancing the proposal, there remain serious hurdles as the legislative session draws to a close. And it's unclear whether the proposal has enough support to get across the finish line and become law. See, it is five electoral votes. I'm getting conflicting information in my sources. Nebraska currently doles out three of its five electoral votes to the presidential candidate who wins each of its three congressional districts. In practice, that puts the competitive second district in the Omaha area in play, even though Republicans typically win the statewide vote easily. Wednesday night's failed attempt to change the law to award all of the Electoral College votes to the statewide winner leaves the fate of the proposal in doubt with a few days left in the legislative session. I guess standard ideas here is it's not going to get through. It's not going to get across the finish line. But we started noticing in 2022, right around the midterms, and this is Nebraska, a real shakeup, I believe, in the Republican Party, where you have a carving out and a peeling off of MAGA, patriot-minded Republicans who are America first. And then you've got your rhinos who seem to be these establishment, malleable, possibly buyable, bribable people who kind of go like Mike Johnson went with the big omnibus vote. This is happening at a very interesting time. If it was standard operating business as usual, this would not be happening. These squabbles within specifically the RNC would not be happening. This is positive because Republicans are tired of dragging around the dead weight. When we come back, I got to talk to you guys about this, okay? Hopefully that all made sense. I got an Eric Adams clip, right? The mayor of New York City with such BS. And the great way to gauge the barometer of a country's finances, its economy, is to go to a pawn shop. Oh boy. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, I want to get back to one of the talking points on the left. They have to do whatever they can to blame Donald Trump, to blame other people for their clear failures. And it's not even failure. Their policies aren't about failure. Their policies just suck. There's nothing redeemable that Joe Biden and this administration, whomever is the puppeteer, there is in no way some improvement in the American way of life with Democrats. They spend way too much money. They get drunk on power. They're corrupt as balls. A lot of people on the right are as well, 100% factual, actual. But the regulations and the rules and the meddling and the emotion of it and the garbage, it's exhausting. I got off the highway. Eric Adams, he does not want you to pay attention to the people online who are posting videos about subway mishaps, people being pushed from the platform and being killed by oncoming trains. I can't even fathom that. To people with mental illness, people on drugs, vagrants, who knows, boarding the trains and putting people in danger. And so there is a pervasive, well-known, and it's certainly well-known in New York City, but it's spreading out even to zip codes like mine in Western Pennsylvania. It ain't safe. And no matter how fancy and schmancy Eric Adams' dress shirts are, and his cufflinks, and his snazzy silken ties, no matter how much he wants to tell you, you're wrong. He's wrong. And he'll lie to your face. Listen to this audio soundbite. He's wanting to tell you, look, everything that you know about crime is completely wrong. And if you change your perspective, if you change how you see it, then the reality changes. If we tell you enough times that inflation isn't a thing, you'll believe it. No, no, we won't, Eric. And we've got the hard data on the flip side of his lies. Listen, here's New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
We're down in crime in the subway system, folks, for the first quarter. We're down. We're down 24% in March. We're down in February. Can we please stop saying we're up in crime in our subway system? We are not.
Ooh.
We're down in crime in the subway system.
Right. No, well said. And I think you hit it out the park. And if we go back to, I don't know if it was March of 2022, I committed to cardinal sin and said perception is playing into this. You know, everyone blasted me. Oh, you out of touch. It's not reality. I said it back then. I always knew from the days of being a transit cop, the perception can override this. So these guys can bring crime down to zero. But if you don't feel safe because you see this disorder going on, then you're going to say that, hey, we're not safe. And so what we are doing, what this team is doing, is
lying,
making sure our officers are visible. When we hear from riders and we say, what makes you feel unsafe? They say, we want to see our police officers.
Well, you've defunded them, you schmuck. So nice try. So what he's telling you, what he's telling the media who are attending this press conference, the way you sell it is the way they will see it. So stop talking about the crime. He says crime is down. No, it's not, Eric. 2019, 373 felony assaults on the New York City subways. 2023, 570. That's a 53% increase in 4 years. Don't take my word for it, though. Make sure you believe the media, because they've been giving their they've been given their marching orders. Do you hear how the Democrats project the message? Everybody gets in line. I used to think it was admirable. It's pathetic. There is not a singular thinking Democrat out there. Nobody who would deviate from what the narrative is. That's gross. That's gross. One great way to get the feel for the economy. How about you go to a pawn shop? See what's going on there. Things selling, hotcakes, people bringing stuff in, desperate. Well, let's listen to this pawn shop owner in Chicago who says everybody in his orbit is suffering. Listen.
There's so much stuff coming out of pawn that it's Rolexes are coming out, chains, diamonds. I never seen stuff like this in my life that they're not picking up. They're just not getting the stuff out anymore. I mean, they even slowed down bringing in stuff because they're running out of stuff to bring in. The economy, I feel, is really going down a little bit, mm-hmm. quite a bit, actually. And they come in, they're getting smaller loans, the $20, $30 loans to help get their medicine, stuff like that. I'm still seeing a little bit. They pick them up when they get their checks at the end of the month. But it's definitely getting tougher out here. The times are getting tougher and tougher.
$20 to $30 loans to get their medicine? Wait a minute. I thought that was one of the greatest accomplishments of the Democratic Party. They beat their chest all the time and they're talking about prescription drug prices coming down. Oh, look at what we've done for the senior citizens out there. Apparently, that's not really true. Sort of like crime in the subways in New York City. We're not going to fix it. We're not going to address it. We're not going to make anything better. We're going to tell you how to talk about it. Because if you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. That's pathological. That's pathological. That is the Democratic Party. And they show us the true colors every single day. You're a pro-life Democrat. We're going to censure you. Sorry, you can't be a delegate. Get out. Either get in line or exit. Holy cow. All right, when we come back, this was amazing. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker Carlson. Is Speaker Mike Johnson being blackmailed? Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio program next.